I strongly believe the best mobilizer, the best motivator for getting involved in global missions, whether it's local or around the world, is scripture. I mean, we can be motivated by an impressive speaker, by a motivational speaker, but that motivation to me wanes in a short amount of time. You know, they kind of get us going, but we lose steam really fast. But something about scripture, God's word, that has a much, the motivation that stirs within us seems to last longer because it's a deep rooted conviction, you know, deep into our spirit by the Holy Spirit. And so there's just something about it that gets us mobilized. So when we lack knowledge of scripture, when we have ignorance, when we don't even know what the Bible says, then the very fact that we have that biblical ignorance is an obstacle.
We read in Matthew 24, Jesus' words, that this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations. But Jesus needs you as a Christian to become equipped for this work. Welcome to the Catalytic Podcast, a ministry resource of 1-8 Catalysts. This podcast exists to give you practical and easy-to-remember tools toward spiritual growth that leads to Great Commission fulfillment. We'll also have interesting interviews of people who have walked the journey towards Great Commission fulfillment, and we'll be able to hear their stories. And now it's time for the Catalytic Podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining me for this, the 20th episode of the Catalytic Podcast. I'm Mike Falkenstein with 1-8 Catalyst, and I am so glad that you're here with me. I have a fantastic interview for you today. My good friend, Steve Shermer, who is the president at Silk Road Catalyst. You know, we've done a number of media type things together, and I wanted him to come on the podcast today and talk about the top three obstacles to finding Great Commission fulfillment. You know, Steve is doing a lot of stuff on YouTube now and a lot of training himself and trying to get people, you know, more engaged with Great Commission fulfillment. And so I thought he'd be the perfect person to come in and do this. And, you know, we've got a number of other things that we've done over the years. We actually talk about that at the beginning of this podcast. So I'm just so thrilled to have him. I'm glad you've joined us. As you're listening to the podcast, be sure to take notes, to make even mental notes about things that you could use out of this podcast that would be helpful. Thank you so much for joining me. And here's the interview I recently did with my good friend, Steve Shermer. Well, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us again for this latest episode of the Catalytic Podcast. Again, I'm Mike Falkenstein, and I am here today with a good friend of mine, Steve Shermer. And Steve, actually, you were just talking about these initial pieces we were doing on missions, you know, the early platform that we used called Blab. You and I have been doing this kind of thing for a while now, haven't we?
I know. Good grief. That was what, 5-6 years ago, something like that, when somehow we connected with David Joannis in Thailand. And yeah, I met you through, well, that's how we met, was
that's
really
right.
through David.
That's
and
right.
And then we've just continued this, at least that's where I started in all this. And that's, you know, somehow I just continue doing all this video stuff. And so I'm actually looking forward to our conversation today.
I mean, you think about it just quickly. So if it was 5 years ago, you know, it's amazing how much that platform and that, that ability to be able to do that has really grown. I mean, you think about now Facebook Live and YouTube Live, and, you know, my 20-year-old son watches this thing called Twitch, which I'm not all that familiar with, but, you know, people are gaming live and you can watch what they're doing and, you know, all this. And it's amazing how that arena has changed just in 5 years, isn't it?
I know. And the Blab platform that we were on with David isn't even exist. It doesn't even exist anymore.
Yeah. They like went out of business, I think. Yeah.
I know. So we've all moved on to other things. I mean, I'm focusing more on YouTube. We've got the Missions Talk Show on Facebook. And
that's
of course
right.
You have this podcast as well.
Yeah. So Steve, you are right. We have, you know, you and I continue to do stuff together. I will just make a quick plug for our Facebook Live show that we do called Missions Talk. And we've just made a big decision about that show. And this decision really is just that we're going to do it just twice a month. I think it's the second and fourth Thursday of every month. So for those listening, if you're not familiar with that show, be sure to look us up on Facebook. Again, it's just called Missions Talk. And you'll know when they're coming because it's the second and fourth Thursdays. And so that continues to be something that I'm really enjoy doing. Steve, real quick, just in case there are some people who don't know you, give people kind of the quick 2 or 3 minute, here's who I am. I know you're also directing a ministry, a Christian nonprofit in South Carolina. So give folks kind of the quick 1, 2, 3 on you.
All right. Yeah. So I get the honor of serving as president of Silk Road Catalyst, which was which we started, you know, a little over 7 years ago. It was a spinoff of our work in China. So, you know, even over the last 7.5 years, plus the 13 years prior, I've been involved in and around China. My family and I lived in China. We did church planting. We did mobilization. We've worked with international students. My wife served with the International Mission Board prior to our marriage and worked with refugees and immigrants in Europe.
Wow.
And so we've been in and around the missions world for, you know, 21 years for me, 22, 23 years for my wife.
Wow.
And by God's design, when we came back from China, we didn't realize we weren't going back or going somewhere else. It was just, as we came back, we realized we needed to plant ourselves here. And, you know, we had no idea even where Spartanburg was up until a few years before we moved back.
Oh, wow.
By meeting some friends, because neither one of us are from here. And so, but yeah, so now we're here in Spartanburg, South Carolina, which is where Silk Road Catalyst is headquartered. And we operate from here, leading a team and currently serving in 6 different countries. And yeah, loving it, doing more media stuff, as we mentioned earlier, and focusing a lot on training and educating through YouTube and stuff like that. So
that's great.
On top of leading the organization.
That's great. That's great. And of course, the one of the things that I'm impressed with Silk Road Catalyst versus our organization, 1-8 Catalyst, is that you actually have, you know, overseas staff, and that I'm sure that just adds another layer of what you guys do, doesn't it?
We do, and it does. So our heartbeat is always about mobilizing the global church to the world, but specifically to places that have the least access to the gospel. So predominantly Asia, Middle East, North Africa, places like that. So, but in that, our primary goal, it's not 100%, we say about 80-20. So we do 80% mobilization of Global South workers, which is our predominant staff, and then 20% North American.
Okay.
So yeah, it is a lot of work, but I love it.
That's great. That's great. Well, Steve, I had asked you to come on the podcast today, you know, as I was thinking about the shows that we've done. Primarily, we've done episodes about, you know, we've had people come on. I think even you were one of those people to come on and just essentially give your testimony. And then, you know, here's how I felt called into full-time ministry. And that's kind of our audience, you know, people that are Christians who are Christians, but are looking for kind of deeper ways to, you know, to engage with the Great Commission, finding Great Commission fulfillment and reaching people for Christ. And so I had asked you to sort of think about in your, because, you know, you're going to bring a neat perspective to this, I think. The thing I'd asked you to come and talk about is, you know, as you do your work and you are involved with a lot of people through your churches and whatnot, these obstacles that you find that people have in order to find Great Commission fulfillment. So let me just quickly define that. So Great Commission fulfillment, again, is essentially feeling like God is calling you to reach a certain people. Now, that could just be your neighbors, or that could be, you know, some people I know do prison ministry, or they'd work in, you know, some kind of a statewide thing. And so people finding your niche. And so it's really just the top 3 obstacles of people kind of finding where it is that God wants them to serve and actually seeing God use them. So as you've thought about that, give us kind of your top obstacle for those that are listening, and if you were to be able to speak to them directly.
All right. So the way I wrote these obstacles down is I did 3, 2, 1. So I'm going to start with 3.
Okay.
And it's going to build into my, I would say, my number one obstacle.
Okay, great.
If that's okay.
Sure.
So, all right. So number 3 is biblical ignorance.
Mm.
And so what I mean by that is I strongly believe the best mobilizer, the best motivator for getting involved in global missions, whether it's local or around the world, is scripture. I mean, we can be motivated by an impressive speaker, by a motivational speaker, but that motivation to me wanes in a short amount of time. You know, they kind of get us going, but we lose steam really fast. But something about scripture, God's word, that has a much, the motivation that stirs within us seems to last longer. Because it's a deep rooted conviction, you know, deep into our spirit by the Holy Spirit. And so there's just something about it that gets us mobilized. So when we lack knowledge of scripture, when we have ignorance, when we don't even know what the Bible says, then the very fact that we have that biblical ignorance is a obstacle for believers. And, you know, you and I both know believers who have been believers for a long time who barely know anything.
Yeah, that's,
you know,
right.
They don't read the Bible. They don't study the Bible. They're not in small groups, or maybe they're in small groups, but the small groups aren't studying the Bible. They're just studying external books. And we were in a small group once where they were studying the shack.
Oh,
you know, it wasn't even the Bible. So, you know, that was a long time ago too. So if you're not studying it, if you're not investing in it, you're not going to know it. And yes, people usually don't like the word ignorance, but it's a lack of knowledge. And
yeah, that's right.
A lack of knowledge of scripture is an obstacle, especially if you've been a Christian for some time now.
That's right. And you're really, kind of going along with one of the chapters. So I wrote this book, as you know, Steve, on the 6 marks of a disciple of Jesus. And one of those marks is someone who is obedient to the Bible, right? A disciple of Jesus is obedient to the Bible. And so that would be a corollary, I would think, to biblical obedience, is that if you do not know what the Bible says, and in particular, what God is telling you to do, and at least in terms of Great Commission fulfillment, what Jesus is telling you to do, it's pretty hard to be obedient to it, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. I agree.
And so, yeah, that's really important. So, so Steve, let's do this. I know you've got 2 more of your obstacles that I am looking forward to hearing. Let's just take a little break here and allow my friend Tom Moeller to say a few words to us. And then when we come back, I'd love to hear your top 2 obstacles and love to dialogue with you about that. So let's take a break and we'll be right back.
At 1-8 Catalyst, we have a deep heart to create resources to help you find Great Commission fulfillment. Our website at 1-8catalyst.org is chock full of resources that we hope will help you find Great Commission fulfillment. From previous episodes of the Catalytic Podcast, our new 5-minute video resources that you can share with others on social media, to our blog content, we exist to create resources and deliver training that is a catalyst, enabling every Christian to find Great Commission fulfillment. While you're on our website, navigate to and like our Facebook page, which will keep you up to date on the latest from us.
All right. Well, everyone, thanks so much for joining us again for the Catalytic Podcast. And again, I have my friend Steve Shermer with us. And so, Steve, you've said that the number 3, so you're going 3-1, your third top obstacle to the to people finding Great Commission fulfillment is biblical ignorance. What is your second obstacle that, as you thought this through?
Poor role models and mentors. I mean, let's say you have knowledge of scripture and you understand the Great Commission, you understand the greatest commandments, you studying and learning and memorizing and all those things of the Bible. But I strongly believe if you don't have the right role models or mentors or people discipling you in your life, And there, then it is an obstacle. So, you know, if your role models are all about safety and wealth and comfort and all those things, then you're going to follow suit. I mean, a disciple is someone who mimics their teacher. So if your pastor is not modeling the Great Commission, if your pastor is not modeling the two greatest commandments, or how to love your enemy, or how to share the gospel, or how to think globally, if your pastors, your elders, your Sunday school teachers aren't modeling that, then you're not likely going to model it either.
That's right.
You're merely going to mimic them. So if they say, hey, the Great Commission is, you know, to share the gospel, but sharing the gospel is, hey, just invite your friends to church. Well, that's all you're going to do.
Right.
And you and I probably know people who are like that.
Oh, definitely.
So,
yeah, right. In fact, you know, much of what we're doing, what I'm doing now in my ministry, really came from an examination of, okay, here's what I see in a lot of churches, and here's what the Bible actually says, and the big difference between the two, right?
And then
trying to sort of, you know, bridge that difference. And so, yeah, you are right. I think we both know a lot of those kind of people.
Yeah. So, you know, the opposite of these obstacles is we need to be around pastors and elders who are actually living it out. Because if they live it out, it doesn't mean we're going to live it out, but it increases the chances that we're going to mimic them because we either, if we respect them and we'll listen to them when they say, hey, we need to be doing this, or I need to teach you this. And you're going to be like, okay. So, but if you don't have those, I truly believe if you have the pastors and people in your life that are not doing what Scripture says, then that becomes an obstacle, in my opinion.
Yeah, that's right. That's very good. That's very good.
And just to finish my thought on that.
Yeah, please.
The only reason I do what I do today, I mean, I can name five people in my life very specifically who, from almost a year after I became a believer, up and still till today, that I interact with one of them on a regular basis through accountability. You know, six specific people, four men and a lady, who poured into my life and who modeled everything I needed to learn, so much of what I need to learn. And because of the way they modeled their life, I was able to pursue my calling in the way that I did.
Wow. that's pretty good, isn't it? I mean, to think about the flip side of it is, if you had not had those people, what would have happened? You know,
I think about that.
Yeah, that's right. So, well, what you're saying, Steve, is really, you know, in discipleship circles, we often use this 2 Timothy 2:2 passage about, and the things you've heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will be able to teach others also. And maybe missions is that, or outreach is kind of that same way, right? As pastors, or as the congregation sees the pastor's heart or lack of heart, they're going to either mimic that one way or the other. Right. And so, so I would just say, yeah. You know, we're getting into some territory of, so the second book I wrote, Keeping Watch Over Souls, The Six Marks of a Church That Makes Disciples, really one of the things I encourage pastors and elders to do is in helping their congregation to grow spiritually, is to develop a habit of asking people when you see them. The pastor would ask people when they see them, what are you learning from God's word? And so that kind of addresses your first point, right? That the pastors and elders at least have some responsibility as to how well a congregation members are doing. Now, of course, each congregation members will be accountable to God alone, themselves. But boy, if the pastors and elders really are shepherding these people and literally keeping watch over their souls that we see in Hebrews 13, just making sure that, hey, it's important around here that we're spending time in God's word. And I think you could say the same thing about outreach. It's like for a pastor to begin saying, hey, just tell me, who are you investing in these days?
And well, leaders are accountable for how they lead.
Yeah. And if there's, you know, if the congregation member has no one to then say, hey, let me help you with that. What do you need? Do you need to learn how to share your testimony? Or, you know, are you afraid to share the gospel or unsure? Or, you know, and so in those two things, leaders and elders and pastors really can have a, you know, a deep impact, I think. So that's really good. So I'm excited to hear your top obstacle, Steve. What is your top obstacle for people as they are trying to find Great Commission fulfillment?
So this one was the easiest out of the three to figure out.
Okay.
And it's one that I have seen over and over again. It's a word that we have used a lot just in the last year during this pandemic, and it's fear.
Mm.
To me, it is the number one obstacle. We're afraid to go somewhere new. We're afraid to eat different foods. We're afraid of the discomfort we're going to feel when we step out, even if we go local. Okay, this isn't all about going 8,000 miles away, but this may be going 10 miles down the street to, you know, lower income communities. It may be going to the soup kitchen, the homeless shelter. It could be a lot of things, but just the fear of, you know, what are these people going to say? What are they going to do to me?
Oh, right.
am I going to get sick being down there? Are my kids going to be influenced? You know, I come across so many fears all the time that really that becomes the motivator. I mean, fear is an incredible, powerful motivator, good and bad.
Right.
I mean, fear is not all bad. We tend to think it is, but it's not 100% bad. I mean, if I'm standing next to the cliff, to the edge of the Grand Canyon, fear prevents me from taking one step forward.
Right.
And falling to my death on purpose, you know. So there are times when fear is good because God has created that emotion in us. But in many cases, we use it as an excuse. I mean, I've used it when I lived in Asia, when I lived in China. I knew God was calling me to do something. And, oh, heaven forbid this missionary disobeyed God, but this missionary did in a very specific scenario.
Mm.
And fear led me to trying to create justifications for disobedience that I ultimately embraced as, oh, God was never calling me to do it, until a couple of years later when God opened my eyes and helped me see that you missed an incredible opportunity. Yeah, it was scary. It was nerve-wracking. I was afraid of what people were going to think of me. Mm. There was a lot of things going through my head at the time. But, you know, I hear it all the time when people talk about mission trips, a fear of raising support, fear of going 8,000 miles away. We have a volunteer that is afraid of flying. I mean, she has a deep fear of stepping on a plane, but you know what? She gets on a plane and she'll fly 14 hours away just to obey God in a country she wants to visit, but she has to overcome the fear of flying to be able to go. And she does it time and time again. So yeah, that to me, that is the number one issue. That is the one we have to be the most careful with, because again, we can have all the knowledge of the Bible we want. We can have great mentors and people who are modeling everything in Scripture that we need to see and learn from. But in the end, Satan still uses fears in our lives to stop us.
Mm, wow, that's right. So just quickly, what is the number one way you've seen Christians overcome fear like that?
Wow. Overcome. I don't know if I could answer it well. Honestly, they've just got to buckle up and go for it.
Mm. Maybe that's faith that God is able, or maybe
it is faith. Yeah. Yeah. You're exactly right. It's a step of faith.
Yeah.
I mean, when I went to China 21 years ago, I was, you know, for me, it's not the living conditions. It's not the flying. It's not going to some foreign country. It's food.
Oh, really?
For me, as funny as it sounds, it comes down to food. It was, you know, I grew up a very finicky eater. Mm. And the idea of going somewhere where I had no control over the food or what I was going to eat and nothing was going to be familiar. You know, the first 6 weeks, I lost 25 pounds.
Wow.
I loved it and I grew to love it and I grew to love the food and I got over it. So yeah, I think you just have to, like you said, take that step of faith Just trust that God knows what he's doing. Because I think deep inside, the things we're actually afraid the most of that we feel maybe God's nudging us toward, we're actually more equipped, more designed for those things than we actually realize that we are.
That's right.
At that time, I had no idea I was designed for this job, that I would love traveling as much as I do, that I would love going to these countries like I do.
Right.
But God knew. I mean, he designed it. I just was never exposed to it.
That's great.
And so it's usually a lack of experience and knowledge that create those fears, misconceptions. You've heard the people coming to China. Wow, I didn't realize China was like this, as they're sipping on their Starbucks and eating their pizza and doing all these things. They thought it was, you know, red communist China that was just hammering everyone to the ground.
Oh, right.
All the time. Now, we know there's problems, but you know, there's a lot of misconceptions, and that's what drives our fear. But we've got to really dig into what the truth is and try to understand what's really going on out there.
That's right. That's right. And I would say that part of that too, and you and I have talked about this on various shows we've done together, but part of that is, you know, making sure that you know that God has called you to do a certain thing. And, you know, that really at least has always given me a lot of assurance. It's like, Lord, I feel completely out of control. I don't know what's going to happen next, but I know you've called me here. And, you know, I can trust you with that. You know, lots of stories I could tell. The one that I always like to tell people is we had when our ministry was doing work in China exclusively, we had a pastor's a group of pastors that came with me to do theological training. We arrive at the site and the Chinese being Chinese, they're just getting started planning for our time, but you know, we're already here. And so 2 days, almost 3 days, we sit in a hotel waiting for them to sort of put together the plans. In fact, some of the pastors on the team were looking to, how do we get our flight home? And you know, they're all upset and whatever. And I just told him, hey, guys, listen, you feel like God has called you to this, to be here, right? Yes, yes. Okay, then let's just trust God with this and see what he does. And it just turned out to be the other 5 days were just so fantastic, and God really moved, and the pastors were really used. And so that's not necessarily a fear deal, but more just, hey, if you feel called to go to a certain thing, just trust him with the plans, and it'll probably be different than you, and you'll be eating things you're not used to, and he's able to work it out, right? So that's good. Well, as we end this episode, Steve, just give folks kind of a quick, you know, if they want to get in touch with you, learn more about Silk Road Catalyst, what would be the best ways for them to do that?
So the best way to do that is just go to our website, silkroadcatalyst.com. And on there, it has all the information about our ministry, opportunities, different opportunities, and of course, how to contact us as well. Of course, on Twitter /, or twitter.com/ Steve Shermer. And the same would be for Instagram as well.
Okay, great. Now I'll just encourage everyone to check out what they're doing at Silk Road Catalyst. It's some really great stuff. And I fully endorse what they're doing. And, you know, every time I have an opportunity to participate in some way, I'm really thrilled to do it because I really like what you're doing, Steve, and just appreciate you and not only your friendship, but what you're doing with your ministry. It's great. Thanks for being here with us.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, folks, thank you so much for joining us. And I thank Steve again, and we'll look forward to having you with us next time.
Thank you for joining me for the latest episode of the Catalytic Podcast. For more information, be sure to visit our website at 18catalyst.org. And never forget, the Great Commission is a command that Jesus gave you as a Christian to obey. I'll be praying for you that you find your part in it. See you next time.